Chapter 100. Leg and Arm. The Pequod of Nantucket meets the Samuel Enderby of London.
Ship ahoy! Hast seen the white whale?
So cried Ahab, once more hailing a ship showing English colors bearing down under the stern. Trumpet to mouth, the old man was standing in his hoisted quarterboat, his ivory leg plainly revealed to the stranger captain, who was carelessly reclining in his own boat's bow. He was a darkly tanned, burly, good-natured, fine-looking man of 60 or thereabouts, dressed in a spacious roundabout that hung round him in festoons of blue pilot cloth, and one empty arm of this jacket streamed behind him like the broidered arm of a hussar's surcoat.
"Hast seen the white whale? See you this?"
And withdrawing it from the folds that had hidden it, he held up a white arm of sperm whale bone, terminating in a wooden head like a mallet.
"Man my boat!" cried Ahab impetuously and tossing about the oars near him. "Stand by to lower!"
In less than a minute, without quitting his little craft, he and his crew were dropped to the water and were soon alongside of the stranger. But here a curious difficulty presented itself. In the excitement of the moment, Ahab had forgotten that since the loss of his leg, he had never once stepped on board of any vessel at sea but his own. And then it was always by an ingenious and very handy mechanical contrivance peculiar to the Pequod, and not a thing to be rigged and shipped in any other vessel at a moment's warning. Now, it is no very easy matter for anybody, except those who are almost hourly used to it, like whalemen, to clamber up a ship's side from a boat on the open sea. For the great swells now lift the boat high up toward the bulwarks, and then instantaneously drop it halfway down to the kelson. So deprived of one leg, and the strange ship, of course, being altogether unsupplied with the kindly invention, Ahab now found himself abjectly reduced to a clumsy landsman again, hopelessly eyeing the uncertain, changeful height he could hardly hope to attain. It has before been hinted, perhaps, that every little untoward circumstance that befell him, and which indirectly sprang from his luckless mishap, almost invariably irritated or exasperated Ahab. And in the present instance, all this was heightened by the sight of the two officers of the strange ship leaning over the side by the perpendicular ladder of nailed cleats there, and swinging towards him a pair of tastefully ornamented man-ropes. For at first they did not seem to bethink them that a one-legged man must be too much of a cripple to use their sea-banisters. But this awkwardness only lasted a minute, because the strange captain, observing at a glance how affairs stood, cried out,
I see, avast heaving there, jump, boys, and swing over the cutting tackle.
As good luck would have it, they had had a whale alongside a day or two previous, and the great tackles were still aloft, and the massive, curved blubber hook, now clean and dry, was still attached to the end. This was quickly lowered to Ahab, who, at once comprehending it all, slid his solitary thigh into the curve of the hook. It was like sitting in the fluke of an anchor or the crotch of an apple tree, and then, giving the word, held himself fast and at the same time also helped to hoist his own weight by pulling hand over hand upon one of the running parts of the tackle. Soon he was carefully swung inside the high bulwarks and gently landed upon the capstan head. With his ivory arm frankly thrust forth in welcome, the other captain advanced, and Ahab, putting out his ivory leg and crossing the ivory arm like two swordfish blades, cried out in his walrus way,
"Aye, aye, hearty, let us shake bones together. An arm and a leg, an arm that never can shrink, do you see, and a leg that never can run. Where didst thou see the white whale? How long ago?"
"The white whale," said the Englishman, pointing his ivory arm towards the east and taking a rueful sight along it, as if it had been a telescope. "There I saw him, on the line last season."
"And he took that arm off, did he?"
asked Ahab, now sliding down from the capstan and resting on the Englishman's shoulder as he did so.
"Aye, he was the cause of it, at least. And that leg, too.